little something between you and me. Don't cost you nothing, this one's for free.
Come in.
Morning, Julia.
Morning.
Lovely to see you again. Hi. Take yourself a seat.
Thank you.
What would you like to talk about today?
I had to come back for results from, what did I have done? Blood tests, urine test, and an ECG.
Okay, okay. And remind me on about why we did those blood tests and the ECG.
I really don't know. I think I've got high blood pressure, and my cholesterol's up, and you would like me to go on to statins, and I really don't.
Okay.
I would rather not.
Well, we wanted to have a conversation about statins, didn't we?
Yes.
And we wanted to decide how important it was.
Yes.
Okay. So how did we find out about your blood pressure in the first place?
I came for something totally unrelated.
Right. And what was the connection with cholesterol for you?
Well, the nurse asked about my cholesterol, and I said I wasn't really bothered about having it taken because I really didn't want to go on to statins anyway, so it was matterless, really. But she did do it, as it turned out, and she said it was high. Then when I came to see you, you also commented on it.
Yeah, okay. Okay, well, that's really helpful to get the background. Was there some other issue that you were hoping to raise today?
No, I don't think
just
so.
That
I just
really
came to check that I'm not ready for leaving this mortal coil.
No, okay. Has there been any suggestion that you might be ready for leaving this mortal coil?
No.
Okay.
Just when I was here a couple of weeks ago, you said something about if you get crushing chains in your chest.
Yeah.
Crushing pains in your chest and you're feeling sick and nauseous, dial 999. I thought, oh, God, does it know something?
Unlikely as it may be, okay. Yeah. So you've had an ECG. The ECG was normal and reassuring.
Yeah.
And you also had some blood tests, and they showed that your cholesterol test was high. I do apologise for testing your cholesterol. Can I just check before we go any further about your family history of heart attacks and angina?
I have had two brothers that had heart attacks. They had bypasses, actually.
Okay, what age were they when they first started having problems with
their heart? I cannot say for certain. Our Andrew was quite young. Well, I would say late 50s. I think our Adrian would be near in 60 when he had his.
They so everybody was together. Over the age of 55.
Yeah.
Okay. And you'd never had any cholesterol deposits on your tendons or anywhere else that you've noticed? You haven't heard of that?
No.
Do you know of anybody with particularly high cholesterols in your family?
I think probably our Julia. She's on tablets for her heart. A sister.
So she's on cholesterol tablets. You're not aware of how high her cholesterol was in the first instance?
No.
And you've never heard of this term, familial hypercholesterolemia?
No, I haven't.
Let me just find out a little bit more about you, if I can, just to refresh my memory. Was there any other reason why we should be concerned that you might be more at risk of heart disease than the next person?
I don't think so. You just asked about family history last time, and you seemed a bit worried about that. I had a brother that had a brain tumour, which probably has nothing at all to do with it. He died at 44. Our Julia's got heart troubles, but I mean, it doesn't affect her life really in any way, you know.
You're not a smoker.
No, never. I used to be, but.
Okay. How long did you stop?
At least 10 years. I can't really.
Okay, so hopefully your risk has come back down as a consequence of not smoking. So well done. What occasion stopping smoking?
Money and health.
Okay. Was it something that somebody had said, or it was just mostly finance?
No, it was. We used to walk quite a lot. We lived near the river at Pensher, and I found that I wasn't walking as easily as I did. I was getting
better. So it was affecting your health.
So,
good.
I stopped.
Well done. Did you get our support to do that, or was there a particular thing?
I did
that
actually. It was when they had a
smoking team.
You got the tablets for nothing.
We still do that.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Right.
Domestic arrangements, who do you live with?
Husband.
Yeah, okay. Are you still working?
No. I'm 71.
What did you used to do work-wise?
I used to work in a factory. I used to go do the market.
Mm-hmm.
And then I worked in kitchens at the end.
Okay.
That was my last job.
Hobbies, habits these days?
I like gardening. Okay. I like to walk. So I'm reading.
Walking-wise now, you're able to exert yourself without any discomfort in your chest and breathlessness affecting you, which is good news, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the ECG was very reassuring. Your blood pressure has been higher than we'd like it in a perfect world, but not drastically high. So I think it's worthwhile as revisiting this question about your blood pressure and about the choices that you've got to make. Does that sound okay?
Mm-hmm.
I checked your weight last time and we weren't alarmed by your weight at all, but we're going to include that in the equations that we make. We've got a computer program that hopefully will help you be in the driving seat to make decisions about what you want to do about your health. Does that sound reasonable?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We've got a sheet here. Did I show this to you last time?
You gave me one, actually, to figure out what to do with it.
Great. Have you brought it back with you? Great.
You did.
Are you good on computer?
No.
No.
Okay. I can get through, but I'm not good, no.
Okay. Well, it's helpful for us to add some numbers here, and you will often need some guidance on the computer to make sense of this sort of thing if you're not good on a computer.
I can log into things if, I can...
Well, potentially you might want to log... Well, you don't need to log into this, you just need to find an internet website. And the internet website that you're looking for is... well, if you search on Google for absolute CVD risk benefit calculator, that will come up with the tool
that
we use.
Right, I can't use Google. Okay.
And then you click on Q-Risk, and that's the British data that we're using to try and figure out what's your future risk of having a heart attack, a stroke or angina.
Right.
Now, we've got some new numbers for you to add to the back of this sheet here before we go any further. So you're 70...
71 next month.
And we've got your average blood pressure being 141, and you're not on blood pressure treatment at the moment.
I am. I'm taking amlodipine and...
You're on two. Okay. Okay, so you're on two medications.
Yeah.
So we include that with our tool, and we also put your cholesterol numbers. So in terms of having a high cholesterol, it's important for me to know that you don't have a problem with your kidneys. So I'd take a urine sample to look for leaky kidneys. Have we done that for you yet?
I had brought a urine sample in last week.
We've got a result back on that, and that was normal. So no leaky kidneys.
Oh,
we had a listen to your heart. We had a listen to your blood vessels. There didn't seem to be anything alarming from listening to those at all. No evidence of narrowing. I had a look at your blood vessels in your eyes as well last time. And from looking at the blood vessels in your eyes... there was a little bit of high blood pressure changes there, which suggest that we might want to prioritise your blood pressure. But I'll come back to that in a second, if that's okay. And in terms of the rest of the investigations that we've got your cholesterol number as being 6.9. Okay, so it's high, but it's not ridiculously high. And that's going to help us to make a plan forward as well. So you probably don't have a condition called familial hypercholesterolemia. Familial hypercholesterolemia is this cluster of family high cholesterols. So it's caused by a genetic problem.
Right.
Whereby it's really important that you go on a statin. But because you don't have that, it's not so important that you go on a statin. But I'll tell you how helpful a statin might be amongst other options that you've got. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So your cholesterol number was 6.9 and your healthy cholesterol, your HDL cholesterol, was good at 2.5. We've got two results. We had 2.5, but we also, the most recent result we had was 2.8. We also need to know your height in centimetres. So I've got 154 centimetres. And your weight in kilograms to use this computer program. So bear with me a second while I bring up this computer program through my computer. You're going to use Google to find it. I've got it saved in my favourites here, and that's helpful for me. So we just click on to the CVD risk calculator, and it comes up with the absolute CVD risk benefit calculator. We click on the middle button, which is the Q risk numbers from the United Kingdom, and then we put some other information in here. So we have to put your age in, 70, the fact that you're female, you're white, you're not a non-smoker now, an ex-smoker after more than 10 years, you're not diabetic, we've tested for that, And your average blood pressure we're going to put down as 141. So your cholesterol number, we've already said, was 6.9. Your HDL cholesterol number, well, we can't put it down on this computer program because it only lets me put a maximum of 2 in there. So we're going to put 2 there rather than 2.8, but yours is actually better than that. So your healthy cholesterol is better than that. Family history. You do have a significant family history. I'm going to click on that button to say yes. But you don't have any problems with your kidneys. You don't have atrial fibrillation. You don't have rheumatoid arthritis. We then need to include your height and your weight in this tool as well, in centimetres and in kilograms. So this one's a bit ungainly to put information in, but it'll let me. You have to fiddle about with the numbers until it'll let you take the numbers, and then we'll put that in. Good. Okay. So this then tells me what your 10-year risk of having heart attack or stroke might be. So if I take 100 people and do nothing to them whatsoever and don't give them any health information, then we're going to find that 17 people out of 100 people like you at your age are going to have a heart attack or a stroke or angina.
Just because of old age?
Just because of all these factors that we put in there. And the points that are important to you are your blood pressure, which we're getting there a little bit with, aren't we?
Yes, yes.
The fact that your cholesterol is high but not astronomically high. Because people that have got a very high cholesterol of above 7.5 potentially can have this nasty family condition, but I don't think you've got that. The fact that you don't smoke is really important. It's made a massive difference. If I was to make you a smoker, then we'd massively increase your risk. So let me just put that in just for the sake of intrigue here. So we would massively increase your risk to 29% if you were a smoker. So well done. That's one thing you've done really well. So we're going to put you back to being a non-smoker. Now, I'm going to take you through the options here of things that you might be interested in doing. I know that you're not keen on statin, but I'm going to mention that in amongst the mix of things.
Yeah.
Just in relative terms as to how helpful would a statin be to you?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So if I click on a statin, there's two doses that I give. I can either give a low-dose statin or I can give a high-dose statin. The high-dose statin are more likely to cause these muscle aches. About 1 in 10 people get muscle aches with that. That's the most common problem.
My sister did. She came off.
Yeah. So oftentimes, if her cholesterol's particularly high and she came off them, she might want to go on a tiny little dose because the tiny little dose is almost as good but doesn't cause the side effects nearly so bad. So if we click on high-intensity statins, we'll save 6 people from having a heart attack, stroke, or angina.
Yeah.
And that's for all 100 people being treated.
Yeah.
That's worthwhile bearing in mind when you want to compare it with everything else that's out there. The other things that help your blood pressure will also protect your heart. So physical activity is one of those factors. It doesn't sound like there's an issue with your physical activity levels because you walk quite a lot.
I do, yeah.
But in a perfect world, if you were able to be active for 150 minutes in total over a week, that's what we're talking about when I talk about physical activity.
Yeah.
And that protects 5 people out of those 17 from having a heart attack, stroke, or angina. Really worthwhile continuing. Mm-hmm. And that's probably where your risk really is at the moment because we haven't factored that in beforehand. Other things that are worthwhile considering, well, can you think of anything?
Well, diet, there you point to it.
Okay, so with the diet, tell me a little bit about your diet before we...
I like everything that's not good. I love butter. I like bread. I don't eat a lot of processed food. I cook meals. That's about all I can tell you, really. I don't eat a lot of sweet stuff. I use spray light where I can.
Yeah. Butter's possibly not as bad as it used to be thought to be fair, but a balanced diet is important. Sweet stuff is not great.
No, I don't like a lot of sweet stuff. I never have.
But to give you more guidance about what a healthy diet could be, I've got a couple of versions that you might want to think about. The one that we've got the best evidence that is heart protective is the Mediterranean diet.
Mm.
And I could give you more information about that at the end of the consultation if you're interested. So have a think about that one.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, for people that are prone to type 2 diabetes, people that are tending to be a bit overweight, then the low GI diet is one that might be worthwhile thinking about, because it's slow-release energy. So the carbohydrates that you have, if you avoid the sugary things, mm-hmm, the mm-hmm. things that release quickly into your system. And for some people, I also recommend the 5-2 diet, because it helps people lose weight, and the weight can be really quite important in terms of blood pressure. Mm-hmm. That's worthwhile bearing in mind. While we're touching on blood pressure as well, because that seems to be something that's really important for you, there are a couple of other things that might be surprises. Did you manage to get to read this section about blood pressure control?
I skimmed through it all. I didn't read it properly, to be honest, because I thought, well, I don't know what I'm doing with this anyway.
OK, well, let me highlight a couple of things that might be relevant to you. When you cook, do you use salt to cook?
Yes.
Do you add salt to your food?
Yes.
OK. So one thing that's going to be healthy is just to make a straight switch to low salt, which is high in potassium and actually quite healthy for you. And there's evidence that doing that will bring your blood pressure down and protect your heart. So a really worthwhile, easy thing to do, mm-hmm. and you probably won't notice it in the taste of the food. Yeah. So that's one thing that's worthwhile doing. We've already talked about the healthier diet, and that can have an influence on your blood pressure as well as your overall risk, so that's worthwhile doing. And we've already talked about regular exercise. We've talked before, because I was concerned that your cholesterol numbers might be high, mm-hmm. about alcohol intake. But I gather you're not a big drinker.
I'm not, no, I'm not.
And when I say a big drinker, the government recommends that you have no more than 14 units per week.
Yeah, I probably was having more, but when you said have 3 days off, I won't even be having that now.
Okay. Oh. So good to make sure that you're moderating your alcohol if it's a potential thing that could be influencing your cholesterol numbers. We also checked your thyroid to make sure your cholesterol wasn't particularly high because of that, and that was reassuring. So that was absolutely fine. And here's a big surprise that a lot of people think, oh, really? So rather than giving you blood pressure tablets for blood pressure, we can ask you to supplement your diet with a flax seed. Well, linseed is the same thing. And that can be added to your porridge in the morning or to cereal if you prefer. And that can actually bring your blood pressure down just as well, if not better, than taking a tablet. So there's good evidence that that's a safe option when it comes to thinking about managing your blood pressure.
To be quite honest, I'm not into all these seeds and things. I've never been into... I don't think my diet's that bad, but I'm not into eating seeds.
Oh, OK. Do you eat porridge at all?
Yes, I do have... oats. I do have oats.
Well, if you're having porridge or having oats, then you probably won't even notice the difference of adding those seeds to it.
No, I probably wouldn't.
Now, it is generally available in the supermarkets. It's worthwhile looking out mm-hmm. for. And obviously, when they have a sale, you might want to stock up. But I've added it in myself. They're not particularly tasty, but that doesn't really matter because you don't even notice it in your breakfast cereal.
Just little, aren't they?
Yeah, tiny little things. Tiny. Just a dessert spoon into your breakfast every morning would be beneficial, and you wouldn't notice it probably.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Good. Okay. So, and the good thing about that is that if you've got normal blood pressure or low blood pressure, it doesn't lower your blood pressure, it only lowers high blood pressure.
Yeah,
so it's a targeted treatment for you that you might want to think about. So we're going to move on from blood pressure control because, well, let's actually think about if we were to give you another tablet where you're at the moment. So just click on that. If I click on that, if we give you another tablet, that saves 5 people out of 17.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to take it another tablet for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you might prefer some of those other options that I've just described.
Yeah, I think I would, yeah.
Okay, so there's no rush to add another tablet. There is a benefit, but it's a small benefit. And some of these non-tablet versions could be more appropriate for you and more acceptable to you. So you might want to go with those.
Yeah.
Okay. We skipped over the benefits of physical exercise, but the Mediterranean diet gives you just as much benefit as an extra tablet or physical activity. They're very similar in terms of benefit. So 5 people out of 17 get benefit over the course of 10 years. With
mm-hmm.
So those are the main interventions that I would think about that might help you. What grabs you?
I don't want another tablet. I'd rather try... I don't have porridge every day. That's the problem. I just have it when I fancy it.
What do you have when you don't have
toast,
porridge?
Toast. Just okay. A slice of toast with butter on.
Because you can put these things on salads too. And just bring them on potatoes as a potential way of serving them as well. So that might be an option that you think about using when you're having the right sort of food.
Mm-hmm.
See how you go.
Mediterranean diet, I probably would like.
Yeah. Mm. Do you want me to give you more information about that before you go today? So I'll give you a printout about that. Mm. Alternatively, you can access that on our website.
Right.
So if you go to Harrington MC and go to Shared Decision Options, click on there and you'll come down to the options about the Mediterranean diet.
Right, I could do that.
And you can take it from there, or I could print it off for you today, whichever
it's
you prefer.
It's okay, I'll have a go at home on it.
Good, good. If you're struggling with that, let me know and I'll give you a copy, not a problem. Does this answer the questions that you had with coming to see me today?
I feel quite good now, actually.
Okay. So it's quite reassuring, even though your cholesterol numbers are a little bit high, you've got something that you can work on.
Yeah.
There's not an enormous priority for you to say you need to have a statin, but if you did decide that you wanted a statin, as I say, that's going to protect, depending on the dose of the statin that you use, maximum 6 people out of 100, and probably with the low-dose statin that I was going to suggest that you want to think about, it's going to protect 5 people out of 100 for using them for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that order of magnitude and a small risk in terms of muscle soreness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
They're relatively safe, and they do seem to be helpful for some people, but that's how helpful.
Yeah.
Questions?
So this percentage, is that... Are those other people, they don't have high cholesterol, do they not? Or
well, we put the
blood pressure, or they live a perfect life, do they?
No, these are 100 people just like you.
All right.
So we've taken 100 people with your numbers.
Right.
Statistically, and said, well, this is what the research shows to us.
Right.
That we know that if we take 100 people just like you with all your numbers, including your cholesterol being a bit on the high side, then that's what will happen to them on average. But I don't know that you're not going to be one of these red people, and I don't know that you're going to be one of these people that's not influenced, that was going to be fine whether I chose you or not.
Yeah.
But I only know that out of 100 people, 5 people are going to be helped by most of these interventions.
Okay.
If you go back home and you talk it through and you then have any questions that arise out of that and you want clarifications, then by all means give me a telephone call. That'll be fine.
Okay.
Okay. Okay,
that's
great.
Brilliant.
Let's hear it for our GP. Skills improving, risk removing.